So what's wrong with us as Christians? We're tolerant. We're tolerant about everything. That's what has ruined us as Christians, to become tolerant. Well, let me tell you, I'm not tolerant. I don't believe in tolerance. I believe we ought to be sincere and stand on God's mighty word. And if you want to see him do anything, you're going to stand on his word. And I love it when God shows up whenever I pray. I love it. Then verse 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. If the Lord has rescued me from the kingdom of darkness and put me in the kingdom of his son, then I need to act like a son of God instead of a son of the devil. And if I'm out here cussing, joining with the rest of the guys, watching pornography with them, laughing over their stupid pictures they're bringing to work, and all the junk that I've seen men do, then I'm sharing in the kingdom of darkness. And forget that. I'm not going to be involved in that. I'm going to have nothing to do with it. I'm not going to run my life like that. I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to live in the kingdom of light, because I am no longer a child of the devil. I'm a child of God. You know, I tell people all the time, I said, you know, what makes it so hard on us as Christians, when we raise our children are children of the devil. And I said, you don't have to teach them how to fight and take it away from each other and scream and do all. I said, they know how to do that because they're children of the devil. I said, you have to get them saved, and then you have to teach them how to walk in God's kingdom. I said, because, boy, if there's anything we all know, you don't have to teach a child how to walk with the devil, do you? He knows how to do that. I mean, they can hurt each other. I mean, I think about just yesterday or day before yesterday, whenever it was, I walked out here. And of course, little Joshua, you know, Dave's little boy, he's just barely running around good, you know. He's just a sweet little heart. And man, Evelyn was out there riding a bicycle, you know, and boy, he walked up to her and he wanted what she had. Man, he's a big old strong boy. He's like a football player. He just ripped it out of her hand, throwed her off that bike, and walked off with it. Of course, she went to screaming and hollering and going in hollering, Mama! And I thought, hey, he's a regular little devil. Just like a little devil. Is that the way we all are? When we were lost, every one of us was like that. That's just the things you have to put up with. Yet, of course, I get so tickled with him. I've seen him two or three times lately, you know. Mama tell him to do something. No, ain't going to do it. You know, my son, better. No, ain't going to do it. Then she reaches over, gets up. As soon as he sees her get that switch, oh, man, he jumps. It's amazing how that changes his attitude. She don't even have to use it. Just get it in her hand. I think, praise God. The Lord knew what he was talking about. What he said, take the rod of correction. It'll drive the devil far from your children. He knew what he was talking about, didn't he? But you have to do that, praise the Lord. And then when we were in Norway, it's illegal for people to spank their children. They take you to court, put you in jail if you spank your children in Norway. Isn't that something? Crazy. I mean, then you wonder why we have a kingdom of devils everywhere. When they get big and they're still devils, boy, that's when you're in trouble. But it says, God has purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all our sins. Now, that statement right there is just kind of mind-boggling. What he did on that cross has set you and me free. I am free. I am a free moral agent as a son of God, and I have nothing that's binding upon me. I am free. You know, I really have freedom in Christ. Most of us don't realize that, but you really have freedom in Christ. Okay, verse 15 and 16. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities, everything has been created through him and for him. And last night, one more time, I was watching Louis Giglio's presentation on the universe. And it's just absolutely amazing. When he come to this, in our galaxy, in our Milky Way, there is a star out there. I mean, one of them is called Beetlejuice. You know, that Beetlejuice star, that thing is, it's twice the size of the diameter of the circle that the Earth makes as it circles the sun. The star is twice that big. Now, that's beyond my ability to comprehend, folks. I mean, and who made that star? God made that star. But then he goes on out and all talks about another one. He tells how many, he takes the Earth as a golf ball, and he tells how many million Earths you could put inside that star. Actually, it's billions and billions of them. And I think, you know, that's mind-boggling that you can take a sun out here that's as gigantic as it is. It's 15 feet compared to a golf ball. I mean, that's big. And then the Earth makes this orbit around this sun every 265 and a quarter days, and it's going nearly 70,000 miles an hour. You know, right now we're moving through space at almost 70,000 miles an hour. And we do that every day. And who made that? The Lord did. And we don't even know there's a breeze blowing out there. But then there is another star out there that is so many times bigger than this Betelgeuse star. He gave numbers that I can't even remember. It told how many quadrillion times the Earth could go inside of that star, and that star was many times bigger than this diameter of the circle that the Earth makes around the sun. I forgot how many it was, but it was humongous, and I thought, oh my goodness. And you think I can know this God? I have no clue of the magnificence of who he is. And who made all that? Jesus made all that. And he's my God and your God. Why do we worry about anything? Do we not trust the King? I tell you what I think's wrong with us. I think we see God as a man. We don't see him as God. We can't fathom the fact that he can be so big that he can be in all the universe everywhere out there, but yet he can be so little, he can talk to me every day, one-on-one. But yet he can talk to you at the same time, and you at the same time. He can be personal. He can do that. And let me tell you, if he has never talked to you, seek him. He will. It's awesome to get to hear his voice. Yeah, it's really something. Okay, now then let's go to Colossians chapter, let's go on down to verse 25 through 29, Dave. We're still in chapter 1. But let's go to 25 through 29. It says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his message in all its fullness to you Gentiles. Now, Paul was saying that, but God gave every preacher, every pastor, every evangelist the job to do this same thing. So he's given this same thing to me. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it's been revealed to his own holy people. Well, let's see the next two verses and see what that is. For it has pleased God to tell his people that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too, for this is the secret. Christ lives in you. That was a secret that was hidden before the foundations of the world. And this is your assurance that you will share in his glory, since he lives in us. If he lives in us and we serve him and he stays in there, then we will absolutely share in his glory. So everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. We warn them and teach them with all the wisdom God has given us, for we want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. Now, what should be our goal? We should want to be perfect with Christ. I mean, we should want to do everything that pleases our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to Colossians 2, verses 1 through 7. Colossians 2, verse 1 through 7. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other friends who have never known me personally. Now, I wonder, do we agonize at all for one another or for other churches? Do we really pray? I mean, I've seen lots of people, you know, that will ask me a question. Will you pray for me? I say, absolutely. And so I pray right then. And sometimes I'm in a place of business, you know, and I pray right then. And of course, sometimes it offends them when I stop and raise my hand and start praying for them right in the middle of a store. And when I get through, I look at them and they're pink, you know, or red or whatever, white or whatever. And I said, what's wrong with you? They said, well, good grief, I didn't know you were going to do it right here in front of all these people. I said, well, where do you think I was going to do it? Well, I thought you were going to do it on the way home or something. You know what happens when you plan to pray for somebody and you're going to do it on the way home or when you get home? You forget it, don't you? Sure. You never get it done. So you just, I mean, it's so easy to let things like that slip. So if you want to see God do something, if somebody says somebody needs prayer, when should you pray? Right then. That's absolutely right. Right then. My goal is that they will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have full confidence because they have complete understanding of God's secret plan, which is Christ Himself. What is the plan? What is this plan that we got now? What is it all about? Christ Himself. Now, this plan is not about you. I hate to bust your bubble. But this plan is not about you getting a good job, being a successful person, and being a big CEO or something of some company. That's probably not the plan that God has for you on this earth. It may be. But if it is, He'll direct you down that path until He gets you to where He wants you to be. But one thing for sure, wherever He puts you, if He puts you in a position out there on earth, the plan will still be to let everybody know that He is the one that puts you there and He's the one that does everything for you. You're not to take the glory for yourself. You're to give Him all the glory. Every time I think about this particular scripture, I think about what happened when I was in New York City a few years ago. I went up there as a regional engineer. My company was going to buy another company, and they had about 6 or 8 operations in New York City. They want me to go up there and survey these things, look at these big buildings, check them out, see what they needed.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, It's All About Christ, Not You, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.